Okay, you're listening to Across the Border, and we're going to continue here in our study in Ezra. And, of course, you have these men complaining to the king, saying that they're rebuilding the rebellious city of Jerusalem. And the letter which you sent unto us has been plainly read before me. Okay, wait a minute. Let's back here. We certify the king that if this city be built again, we're in chapter 4, verse 16 of Ezra, and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. Then sent the king an answer to Rehum, the chancellor, and to Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace. And at such a time, the letter which you sent unto us hath been plainly read before me, and I commanded, and search has been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all the countries beyond the Jordan, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now command to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not built until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that you fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius the king of Persia. Chapter 5 of the book of Ezra. Then the prophets Haggai, the prophet Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Yahudim, the Jews, that were in Yahudah and Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshu, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. At the same time came to them Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, and Shethar Boznai and their companions, and said thus unto them, Who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Then said we unto them after this manner, What are the names of the men that make this building? But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius, and when they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. The copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor in this side of the river, and Shethar-Boznai and his companions, the Apharsachites, which were on this side of the river, sent unto Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus, Unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea, to the house of the great God, which is built with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on, and prospereth in their hands. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them, Who commanded you should build this house, and to make up these walls? We asked their names also to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that were the chief among them. And thus they returned us answer, saying, We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build this house that was built these many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and set up. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried away the people unto Babylon. And, you know, and there you have it. You have the testimony from the Israelites recorded here in Ezra. He says, But after that our fathers, that is the children of Israel, had provoked the God of heaven to wrath, this is the abomination that brought about the desolation. This is the first abomination of desolation. They love that term in modern-day futurist prophecy. Oh, the abomination which maketh desolate. And they make it this mysterious thing that nobody can understand. But here it is in plain English for you, or should I say plain Hebrew, translated here into English for us. This is the abomination which maketh desolate. Desolation, of course, is destruction. And if you have the abomination that maketh desolate, you have the abomination that brings about the destruction. That's all that the abomination of desolation means. It's that which brings about the destruction of the thing. So what brought about the destruction? Well, here it is. But after that, our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath. That's the abomination which brought about the destruction. He gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed, brought about the destruction, who destroyed this house and carried away the people into Babylon. This is the first abomination that brought about desolation. And of course, the second one was in the time of the Messiah, Daniel's 70th week, and preceding that, and up to that, and after it, up until the destruction, the abomination carried on. Of course, they repaired the rent and the veil and the temple that was rent in the middle of the 70th week, and they continued the sacrifice, you know, furthering the abomination, because after that, the Son of God was crucified for the sins of the nation, yes, and all the sins of everyone on the whole face of the earth who did up until that time and who would after accept the Messiah as a propitiation for their sin. But they continued to offer a sacrifice of animals and bulls and goats, which could never satisfy, after that the Son of God once and for all gave himself up for their sins, turning the priest temple sacrifice system into an abomination. It was to end right there and then, the sacrificial system, if they had been obedient. And it did end right there and then, when the Spirit of God, His Holy Spirit, rent that veil in the temple from top to bottom at the same time that He said, "It is finished," because it was finished. There was no longer a need of sacrifice. He spilt His blood once for all. And to understand prophecy, we need to understand what is, this is one of the keys to prophecy, the abomination which maketh desolate. So here we have it plainly spelled out for us. So every time you hear one of these pundits talk about the abomination which maketh desolate, as if it's some mysterious thing that some, that Antiochus Epiphanes, and that's where they draw it from, Antiochus Epiphanes, yes, he did an abomination. Yes, he did slaughter a pig in the temple, on the altar of the temple. Yes, that was abominable, but that was not the abomination which maketh desolate. It did not bring about the desolation of the temple, did it? But they use that as a pattern for some futurist prophecy when the temple is going to be rebuilt in the future. And fortunately for them, so they can carry on in their sin and their idolatry, it's never going to happen. It's the prophecy that will never be fulfilled. So they're always safe from the Antichrist, because he's never going to appear on the scene. And meanwhile, the Antichrist, the seed of Antichrist, is already here. The mark of the beast is already here. And they're already bowing down and worshiping him in whatever form of idolatry that they're bowing down and worshiping him. And most of them, it's in, you know, in the corporate church world. They're bowing down to mammon and their corporate status, all for money, to continue in their privilege from the beast system. So there you have it. Now you know what the abomination which maketh desolate is. It's happened twice in history, and plain to see, spelled out here for us. I'll read it one more time. But after that, our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath. He gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed, desolated this house and carried the people away into Babylon. When you, and what did the Messiah said? He said, he talked about the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Let the reader understand. Do you understand now? Do you want to understand? Because all of the other understanding from the prophecy pundits of the futurist ilk and whatever hybrid ilks that they have thereof, because there are many in between, some half futurists, half historists, and all of this stuff. You know, you have all these half hybrid prophecy pundits out there. It's all confusion, because they'll point to Antiochus Epiphanes, but that was an abomination that brought about desolation, was it? It's incomplete. Yes, it was an abomination, but it did not bring about desolation, so it's not an abomination of desolation. But here we have one that we have the abomination which did bring about a desolation of the first temple. We had the abomination which brought about the desolation of the second temple. It's done. There's no temple to desolate now. Jerusalem is still in shambles. The Temple Mount is still not rebuilt today. There is no temple. And Jerusalem is still trod underfoot of Gentiles today. So the times of the nations, we're still in it. It's still present. So it's key to understand that. Now, don't take my word for it. Search it out for yourself. Pray about it. You know, my Heavenly Father, He's been so faithful to me, because I would get into these studies and I go, Daniel, how can I do Daniel? I don't understand this, Father. If I'm going to do this, you're going to have to help me to understand, because I don't want to be out here just making stuff up that sounds good so I can have the acclamation of men and people will look to me, oh, he's a prophecy teacher. Oh, he must know something. I listen to some of these prophecy teachers. I heard one on this very network last week. Confusion. It all sounds good when it's running out of their mouths. And you just come away, and if you don't know the word and you don't know contrary to what they're saying, you go, wow, it all sounds good when it's coming out of their mouth. They must know what they're talking about. It sounds good. And I'll have to take their word for it, because I'm just confused. They must have really studied hard to know all that. You know, and this is what you think. This is how your thinking process works without really thinking about it. This is the kind of the conclusion that people come to. Well, they must have really studied hard, because, wow, it all sounds good. And they're quoting a lot of scriptures and stuff. But it's all confusion. And that's why people believe them, because they're confused. If you can believe that. I've been there. I know. I don't want to appear stupid or confused. So I just go, wow, they must know really what they must. There must be right. And so they get a lot of people following them because of the confusion, because it's so confusing that nobody can understand it, and they're the experts, so we have to believe them, right? Wrong! Just think about it. If they confuse you, who is the author of confusion? It's better to believe nothing. It's better to go, well, it all sounds good what they're saying, but you know what? I don't understand it, so it doesn't matter to me. And if God wants me to understand, then He'll give me an understanding. I don't have to take their word for it just because they confuse me. I don't know. It's okay to not know. It's okay to say, I don't know and I don't understand. And it's not important. What's important is that I obey the Heavenly Father every day. That I live a life that's pleasing to Him. That's what's important. It's important to be honest with yourself. That's what's important. That pleases Him. So anyway, they returned that answer, and they told him that this is what brought about the desolation of Jerusalem. It wasn't because we were rebellious to Nebuchadnezzar or the kings of Babylon or Persia or anything like that. It was because our fathers rebelled against our God. That's why what happened in the past. That's what brought about the desolation of the city and the temple. That's their answer to the people. To their adversaries who wrote these letters and are trying to get the king, you know, the king of Persia stirred up against them now, who gave them leave to build the temple and to rebuild the city and the wall. And so we'll continue here in Ezra chapter 5 and verse 13. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God. And they're continuing their answer here. And the vessels of gold and the silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem and brought them into the temple of Babylon, those did Cyrus king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he made governor, and said unto him, take these vessels, go carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be built in his place. Then came the same Sheshbazzar, and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, and since that time, even until now, hath it been in building, and yet it is not finished. Now, therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. So they're saying, contrary, you know what? We have a decree from Cyrus to build this temple, and these guys are lying. And so they sent the letter. Chapter 6 of Ezra. Then Darius the king made a decree, and a search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Akmathah, in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was a record thus written. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus king made a decree concerning the house of God of Jerusalem, let the house be built, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 60 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones, and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And also let the golden and the silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again into the temple, which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. Now therefore, Tatnai, governor beyond the river, Shethar, Bosnai, and your companions, the Aphersakites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. Let the work of this, in other words, what he's doing is he's giving them an order to stay away. Be ye far from thence. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree what you shall do to the elders of the Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expense be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs for the burnt offerings of God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests, which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven, and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Also I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God, which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree. Let it be done with speed. Well, you know what we see here is we see a continuation. We see the hand of our Creator in the kingdoms of men. Yes, even in the nations or in the Gentile nations. They can be a sword in his hand. They can be a trough and a trowel in his hand to lend a hand to building his own house and his own temple. He truly is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And making this decree, I guess we have Darius this time making this decree, saying anyone who even tries to hinder it, their house will be torn down and they'll be hanged from the timbers and that place will become a dunghill. And, that takes a little effort. You gotta tear down the house, put up the timbers, hang them, and then cart in all the dung you can find, if you get the idea. And let his house be made a dunghill for this. And giving them a very stern warning to stay away from the work that our Creator has ordained in this place, to fulfill his word, to fulfill his promise that he made even to Adam and Eve in the very beginning, that promise of the Redeemer of mankind, the Messiah, who would come through this city, through this nation, Israel, and through the lineage and the genealogies that he was preserving in this work. Nothing could stop it. Our Heavenly Father, he made promises, he made a covenant, and he is keeping that covenant. And there is nothing on earth that will stop it, or could stop it at that time. And as we know, nothing did stop it. Even Satan and all the hounds of hell themselves, who thought they were getting a victory when they crucified our Messiah, by that very act, they lost the keys of hell and death. And we gained eternal life, because death could not hold him. They didn't see that one coming, did they? Our Heavenly Father even uses the blindness of his enemy for our good and for his purpose. We'll continue here. Chapter 6, verse 12. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there destroy all kings and people that there shall put to their hand to alter and to bring and to destroy this house of God which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree, and let it be done with speed. So we have an addition to the decrees to rebuild and to continue the work here and the rebuilding of the house. Because many, you know, there's a lot of controversy. You get into prophecy circles and which decree, which date, was it such and such BC or this such and such or in so many other years or which decree is it talking about? And it doesn't matter because we know what the end date was. You go from the end date and you got 490 years. You want to know, you count backwards. It's kind of silly. I just kind of chuckle about it sometimes when people start calling and naming dates and debating which date and which decree and stuff like that. It doesn't matter. We know the end. We know what happened. And we just count backwards from there. If we can find that date, and that one should be easier to find. Well, you've been listening to Cross the Border. We're plumb out of time today. In everything you say and everything you do, praise his holy name. Hallelujah.